time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Before we jump into our interview today, we're going to set the tone with just a little bit of live music. This is Savior of My Life. This is performed by me. It's from my CD, True Worship. Sit back and enjoy. Welcome back, everyone. Again, my name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. I hope you enjoyed Savior of My Life that was performed by me. It's from my CD called True Worship. Well, our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out all of the great information about Love Ministries. Just go to their website, go to Love Ministries. ministriesbuilds.org. Well, I am very excited to jump into our interview that we have today. We are welcoming Nisha Strambler Butler. Nisha is the Vice President of Compensation and Benefits for American Airlines. She's also a ministry leader and a pastor's wife from St. Paul United Methodist Church. She, as well, is a member of the Texas Women's Foundation Village Giving Circle and has previously served on the board of Red Cross. Well, Nisha, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be here this morning.
Thank you for being here. We're so excited to get into a conversation with you. There's so much that we want to cover. We both are from United Methodist. From that United Methodist Circle.
Family, that's yes. Right. Yes.
And so, and also we have a mutual really good friend.
Yes.
In Chastity Bass.
Yes.
Chastity was my roommate in college, and I know that you've known her for years through church, I guess.
Yes, it really is through church, and her mother-in-law and my mother-in-law are best friends.
Oh.
That's how we met. And
yeah.
And then we connected through church.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, we're so excited for you to be here, and we thank you for giving us your time. The first question I want to ask you is about your journey.
Sure.
The Lord has you on this great road in
yes.
life. You come from Midland all the way to Dallas to go to college at SMU. So tell us a little bit about your background and that journey.
Sure. Well, I didn't have to come far to Dallas since
right.
I'm from Midland. Just a couple hours up the road. When I was in high school, my senior year, I received a scholarship, and it was a significant scholarship, but the stipulation on this scholarship was that you had to go to school in Texas.
Oh,
it was a community. Okay. It was through the Faskin Foundation out
mm-hmm.
there. And so, you know, when I surveyed all of the schools in Texas, I also surveyed the areas. And I love the Dallas-Fort Worth area and knew that I wanted to be in school here.
Mm-hmm.
And just felt like SMU was the place to be.
Okay.
You know, and this was in the 80s. And, you know, SMU had quite a bit of prestige even
mm-hmm.
back then. And so,
yes.
You know, I just, you know, asked the Lord to open the door that I might be able to come to SMU. As it turns out, I visited all of the other schools in the area, North Texas, UTA, TCU, you
mm-hmm.
name it, not SMU. So I never visited SMU
oh,
before
wow.
I came. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what was it about SMU?
You know, it's hard to really, I was aware of the campus. We visited Dallas quite often,
mm-hmm.
And we had driven past the campus and around the campus, and I just thought it was a beautiful place. And then all the things I read about SMU, you know, sort of signaled to me that it was a good place to get a good education.
Right.
And when their recruiter came to Midland,
mm-hmm.
Out to my high school to recruit, he sold me.
Okay.
He sold me, and it seemed like something, a dream that could be realized.
Yes, yes.
My parents weren't quite sure of that. it is costly to attend SMU,
mm-hmm.
and though I had this scholarship that covered a significant portion, there was still
mm-hmm.
a good portion that was left over. And so that's why we didn't visit, because they just thought it was kind of out of range.
Okay, okay, okay.
But God.
But the Lord has something different in mind.
But God.
And is that where you met Reverend Butler?
It is. It is.
Okay.
So my husband, Richie Butler, also attended SMU, and we met there our freshman year. We lived in the same dorm. He lived on the boy's side, and I lived on the girl's side, but
mm-hmm.
we shared a lobby together. And so,
okay.
And a cafeteria. And so we met there.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is so cool. So I will say, so your daughter is in her first year
of
college now.
Of college, yes.
And she's in California.
Yes.
So our daughter is a senior, and so we are now in that, yes. Just, so your story really speaks to me about college because
yes.
same thing, her UCLA is her dream school.
Oh, is it?
Seriously, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, my daughter, my husband used to work for a company that was based in California, in L.A.
Okay.
Actually, in Westwood.
Okay.
Around the corner from UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And So we visited quite often when they were little children. Mm-hmm. You know, we went to Disneyland. At least once or twice a year, we go out, and while he was working, we would visit with him. And she said, I'm going to school in California. Mm. And then as she got, you know, into that senior year, yes. she applied to a lot of places, maybe 12, 13, might be 15 schools. It was
okay.
a lot.
Okay.
But there were several in California mm-hmm. as well. And we're thankful and she is highly favored mm-hmm. that she was mm-hmm. Able to get in. And we did not realize, you know, when you're a parent and you're kind of looking at all these, and that senior year is so busy and the right. application process is so rigorous.
Right.
It is so yes. different than it was for us.
Yes.
We didn't quite realize where all her schools were. And then one night we realized that, you know, like, these schools are like top 20 schools that she's applied to. And I think we both like had a sleepless night that night.
Right, right.
But again, but
yes,
God.
Yes, yes.
And I called her into the room the next night, kind of like my parents did with me, but for a different reason, not that we weren't able to help her get, you mm-hmm. know, to attend school. It was that I was like, you know, you could get into all of these schools.
Mm-hmm.
You could also get into none of these
mm-hmm.
schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want you to prepare your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you can get into some. And so you just have to know, mm-hmm. you know, where you're going through.
Yes.
And so we're so thankful to God
yes.
that he opened that door for her.
Yes.
She is enjoying it. We actually would have preferred that she stay a little closer to home, mm-hmm. like most parents.
Mm-hmm.
We were rooting for SMU. We were rooting for SMU, and SMU really, you know, pulled out the stops. We're thankful mm-hmm. they really were rooting to get her there, too, but
yes.
we were not successful.
Yes, yes. Well, we can all trust mm-hmm. that the Lord is guiding. And so,
yes,
so I appreciate you sharing
yeah.
that story. So,
yeah.
it, you know, when you're in that season of applying, and it's like you said, a lot of sleepless nights on the parents, and you're
yes.
trying to figure out, okay, where is my child going to end up?
Yes.
You know, the Lord will make the path.
The Lord will make the path. And we said that to her. We said, you know, now we're going through all of this. We were visiting and, you know, we writing all these rigorous. And we said, many a day I would say to her, now, you know, God already has a place. Like,
that's
we
right.
don't know.
That's right.
But God knows what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's already sitting out there. We just don't know yet. We just have to keep asking him
right.
and just trusting that he knows what's right for you.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, she got into, you know, a couple of schools. There were several that she did not get into.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to brace her for that
mm-hmm.
level of, you know, just knowing that, hey, you've been declined and
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But always assuring her that you know, those declinations came in for a reason.
Right.
That's not where God wanted
right.
her to be.
Right, right.
And it was a faith journey for
yes.
all of us, but in particular for her.
Mm-hmm.
But she is very pleased indeed.
Wonderful, wonderful.
It's a good place.
Wonderful.
Even though it's far away from Mom.
I know.
And they have fires. In L.A.
Right.
The faith journey continues.
That is right. That
yes.
is right. Well, Nisha, let me ask you about your calling to preach.
Yeah.
I know that growing up female,
yeah.
African-American female,
yeah.
There are so many different turns that probably you had to take to receive that calling and to have the boldness to live in that calling.
Yeah. You know, so I thought about that question because it's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that it wasn't, you know, one moment or you know, one particular time in life.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe, you know, the word says that he knew thee when they were in the womb.
Yes.
So he knew us even when we were in the womb. And I just believe that God really does have this purpose for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because when I was a child, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12,
mm-hmm.
my mother and my grandmother, and my grandmother was very rooted in the church. If she were living in this day and time, she probably would have been a minister.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up in a Baptist tradition.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have women as
mm-hmm.
ministers. So, you know, she was very active in devotion and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, they recognized a gift in me.
Mm-hmm.
They said, you know, you're a very good speaker. And so they would tell people that in the community. They would say, you know, she would say, my granddaughter is a really good speaker. You know, she could come over and talk if you all have a youth day or something like that. And I was going to say, I don't know why, but I know why.
Right.
I know where God,
right.
where God is, mm-hmm. right? And so they would come to me and say, you know, this church wants you to come over and speak. or why aren't you going to speak at our church on this date, and you're going to speak on these mm-hmm. topics. And I would be like, what? What are you talking about? And they're like, yeah, just go on back there and write your speech,
mm-hmm.
And then we'll be ready. We'll get you over there on that Sunday, because you know
yes.
that's the way it was.
Yes.
And so I did that on numerous occasions mm-hmm. at numerous churches.
Mm-hmm.
You do what your parents
right.
tell you. And so my mother and grandmother would say, this is what you do, and I did it.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that the Lord was in the midst of that.
Amen.
Back then, I didn't. I'd be like, why do they keep doing right. this to me? But I could do it, and so I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that point on, you know, I would do those. And then when I got older, I stopped doing as much of that in high school and in college.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. And I had sort of forgotten about those days.
Mm-hmm.
But I stayed close to the Lord.
Right.
Stay close to the Lord. And because I was at SMU, I was exposed to the United Methodist Church.
Right, right.
And attended St. Luke United Methodist Church
mm-hmm.
and was exposed to women ministers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that stayed with me. And we moved to the Northeast, and we went to a Baptist church, but it was a progressive Baptist church, and they had women ministers.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed active and continued to speak and just be active in the ministry my whole life.
Hmm.
You know, so from a child all the way through. And as, you know, I got closer to, you know, my 30s, you know, the Lord began to work on me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a terrible pregnancy. Where I ended up with something called hyperemesis and could not eat the whole pregnancy.
Oh, wow.
It is weird to even tell people that, and just because it's such an odd thing.
Right.
To keep me alive and the baby alive, they put a feeding tube in, or what they call a PICC line.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a harrowing journey for
mm-hmm.
me. I got down to 80-something pounds before they put that in, and I knew that the enemy was attacking me on all fronts in many, many different ways through
mm-hmm.
that journey of that pregnancy. But I stayed close to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came out of that, one day we were at a women's conference, and the minister was preaching, and we went up for prayer, and she prayed over me, and she prayed
mm-hmm.
about that,
mm-hmm.
not knowing anything about my history,
mm-hmm.
not knowing anything about what I had done, you know, as a child and a preteen, and I knew that the Lord had spoken through her
mm-hmm.
And said, you know, it's time. And I got that probably two or three other times, and I finally said, okay, it's time for me to answer the call.
Hmm.
But God had been calling me for a very
right.
long time.
Right. Right, right.
For a very long time.
Yeah.
So,
you know, some of that is lost in our present day. The fact that our parents and grandparents, when we were young, really pointed us in a direction, a good direction.
Yes. Yes.
A good direction according to the gifts and graces
yes.
they saw in us.
Yes.
And on this show, we're always encouraging parents. Push
mm-hmm.
your kids out there
mm-hmm.
and don't be so bothered by what they don't want to do.
That's it.
You know?
That's it. Because you don't ever know what God has for them.
Yes.
You don't know what that is.
Yes.
And when it comes to the church, you know, it's one of those things where my father was very involved in the church, and so my mother would. And then they divorced, and she was not as involved, but I kept going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My grandmother would come by
mm-hmm.
and pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
But for my children, you know, especially since my husband's a pastor
right.
and I'm very engaged in ministry.
Right.
It isn't really a choice.
Right.
But I think when you deposit the right seeds in your children and you hone it for
mm-hmm.
them,
mm-hmm.
I think it stays with them. When my daughter got to UCLA one Sunday morning, she called back or texted my husband and said, you know, I want to go to church somewhere off campus.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me some suggestions?
Mm-hmm.
And so she does. She joined a Bible study there. And
Wonderful.
So, you know that they stay there.
Mm-hmm.
You know that those seeds
mm-hmm.
are still germinating in
yes.
there. The The point is to deposit and to plant the seeds.
Amen.
And I think sometimes parents don't do enough of that, mm-hmm. but it's to plant the seeds.
And also
just to ask God to show you, you know, what it is in your children. I knew because of that pregnancy that the enemy was trying to keep my child from coming to this world. Mm-hmm. And I figured there was something pretty mighty about her that he didn't want her to come.
Right.
And so I know that there is some kind of calling for her, too.
Amen.
And so we just deposit the seeds and put her in the right environment. And, you know, she is a believer wholeheartedly. So
Amen.
We don't know where the Lord will take her.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't speak of ministry, but she is a good believer.
Amen. Well, we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. You know, she and I are the exact same size, same shoe size, clothes. So what that meant is she borrowed a lot of my clothes.
Okay.
So from time to time, I have to go to her room to retrieve my
things. Yes.
Right?
I know about that.
You may have some of that. And so, one day when I was up in her closet, I realized that on the backside of her closet, it was covered in sticky notes. It was her prayer wall.
Oh, my goodness.
And anything that we'd ever discussed or we knew somebody else was struggling with, anything she was struggling with was listed along that wall. And I was up there a couple of weeks ago, and there were new stickies on that wall.
Yeah.
So you just... You know, we saw the movie.
Yes.
And again, all of the other seeds that are planted, you just never ever know.
Yes.
What's going to happen?
Yeah, yeah, that's a blessing.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. That is wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this: you were named. You are named for 2019 the most influential women in America. One of the most influential women in America. Which is huge.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. Tell us how you won that award and tell us maybe even some of the opportunities that you've received because of that.
Yeah. You know, I give God all the glory.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All the glory. And I was talking with Chastity and we were talking about that. And she said, oh, yeah. And, you know, I told Carla about that, et cetera. And I was like, you know, I can't even bring myself to really read the... read or kind of go through it. I just I have a humble spirit, and sometimes too, probably a strength and a weakness at times.
Mm-hmm.
But I was nominated by the folks at American Airlines.
Okay.
Some of the folks in our diversity communications office nominated me for the award, and the company wholeheartedly backed it.
Mm.
And so when that happened, we applied for the award, and I thought, you know, gee, if you apply for the award, this award, it's most influential women in corporate America.
Okay, in corporate America.
America. I thought, well, gee, yeah, everybody gets this, right? And they said, no. I said, oh, it's one of those. I really do have to fill the application and all this stuff out. So that's really how it came about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they nominated me, and they were ecstatic when the results came in, and I actually received the award. And I didn't spend a lot of time looking at mine, but I looked at some of the other women who also received the award around me, and I felt very honored to be in their midst. And Oprah was on the cover of the magazine, so I just thought, thank you, Lord.
Yes,
if you would put me in the midst of all of these other women. Thank you, Lord.
That is such a blessing.
Yeah.
That is such a blessing.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I know that we're coming close to a break, but there's so much more that I would love for you to share with us.
Sure.
I know that you're doing wonderful work at American Airlines, and you've only been there for...
2 years.
2 years.
Yes.
2 years, and I know you've accomplished so much. So when we come back, we want to get back into that, and then we want to ask you some other questions about marriage and parenting. This is a new phase with parenting. One child in college, one child at home.
Yes.
And so my husband and I will be there next year.
It is
so
a journey.
We want your best
it's
advice.
It's a faith journey.
We want your best advice. So let's take a break, and we will be back in just a minute.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Well, welcome back, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. We thank you for tuning in today. We are having a great conversation with Nisha Strambler Butler. Nisha is the Vice President of Compensation and Benefits for American Airlines. Nisha, thank you so much again for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So we've had a great conversation so far, and we've covered all kinds of good things. I want to talk more about American Airlines and the work that the Lord is allowing you to do there.
Sure. You know, I was speaking to a group of women actually at Texas Instruments, which is where I spent the bulk of my career, 21 years. I was speaking to them a few weeks ago, and they said, what made you, you know, after 20 years, 21 years, what made you make the jump? And I said, I prayed about it. I prayed about it, and, you know, the Lord knows who we are, and he knew that perhaps I was very comfortable there. I loved working at TI, and really, you know, wasn't actively seeking to move. But he put this opportunity in front of me, and then he positioned it in such a way that I really had to pay attention to it. And I ultimately ended up going, but I prayed a lot about it. But I didn't know why he had done it, but I knew he had orchestrated this. I could see God all over it. I always recognize his prints on things. And so I went ahead and went. It was a scary thing to do, after 20-some years in this late in life to make that kind of a move because it represented a lot of change for me. But when I got there, what I didn't know that I learned is I am the only African American vice president, woman vice president that they have at the company, and there was just a tremendous amount of need for mentoring for the women there. To just I think it's important for people to have role models, and I would always say that to folks at the folks at TI, to our leaders that. You have to have more diverse people in leadership because what it does is it signals to the rest of the population that they can do it. When there's nobody there, people don't feel like there's a lack of hope. And so what I think I represented in company was some hope for the women at American Airlines. You know, I think the Lord has placed me there to do, you know, obviously compensation and benefits. But to spend time mentoring many women. And I say, you know, I'm the only African-American woman, but I mentor all types of women. I've got several Latinx mentees, several Caucasian mentees, and a whole host of African-American mentees. But that I knew immediately within a week or two of getting there that that was the reason that I had been placed there, that it wasn't as much about me or my accomplishments or anything like that, that he opened that door because there was a need. And so when people say, can I get 5 minutes with you? Can I, do you have 10 minutes? I need to, can I run something by you? Can I call you on your way home? I always say yes, because there were women who spent time mentoring and guiding me. And I knew that that was part of the reason that I got here. And so I very much do that. And I know that's a part of the path and the reason that he, because sometimes it does turn into ministry. And even if we don't utter the words of God, I think that when we show up and we look like, we act like him, when we have the heart of Christ, you don't have to say it. You know, in the corporate world, sometimes it's very difficult. You have to be careful about it in terms of ministry. But I believe when you act like Christ, that you let that light so shine that you have an impact on people. And I just hope that I am doing the work in the way that he would have. I try every day. And people say, oh, I know you're so busy. And I said, but this is part of the reason I'm here. And so this is what I do now.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Amen. That is one thing. You know, we, all of our preparation and training that we receive in church, all of, you know, the word that the Lord has spoken to us in our quiet time, all of that is for the world. It's you know, we are to live our faith. And like you said, you don't have to spout the word Jesus in every sentence. You just show his love.
Show up and show him.
Yes, yes.
Show up and let him show forth, really, is what you do.
Yes.
Show up and let him show forth. And when you do that, I do think you have impact. And people may not understand what it is, but we know.
Mm-hmm.
We know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Never for one minute do I take for granted that is he that is in me.
Amen.
That's greater than he that is in the world.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yep.
That is wonderful.
Yep.
So you're truly living your faith out in your service and in your work.
I try.
Yeah. No. You're doing more than trying. So let me ask you about, you know, marriage and parenting in the 21st century. Like we said before the break, you know, life takes us in all of these different journeys and all of these different roads. And my husband and I were always discussing young people, our children,
mm-hmm.
and also all of the young people that we serve in Love Ministries and in Community ISD.
Yeah.
And, you know, how can we best just lead them in the way that they are all supposed to go and show the love of Christ to them. Things have changed with social media and the comparison and all of the things that our young people are facing. So tell us, you know, give us your best advice, your best leadership for marriage and parenting in the 21st century.
And that's the toughest question you've asked me all day, because both of those are tough,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think in the church, we don't acknowledge that enough,
mm-hmm.
that Richie, my husband and I were teaching a Bible study. We finished one in November on thankfulness and gratitude. Mm-hmm. In one of the sessions, we were talking about how important it is to just, you know, acknowledge sometimes how hard things are and just to thank God, right? And we were talking about, you know, some of the spaces in our lives where we don't acknowledge the difficulty. And so one of the people in the class had shared something, and I said, you know, and marriage is like that. And I said, people, and one of the things that challenges marriages and why the reason why a lot of people don't stay together
mm-hmm.
is because they think it's supposed to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they see what, you know, they watch what they watch on TV and they see, and then they see other people and it just looks like it's effortless.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is just in love all the time, every day, you know, and that's really not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we do a disservice, especially to the younger couples, but to just, you know, married couples all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
By not being more forthright on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's something we have to do, is we have to acknowledge it. It is tough. It is, you know, it is the taking of two people who become one. And mm-hmm. some days people don't want to be one.
Right.
You know, they don't want to be one. But because of God,
mm-hmm.
and because of our faith in God, and mm-hmm. we, and because we, you know, we stay in the Word and say, it's achievable. But through God.
Right.
Right.
And
so we just had to help people understand that it's not easy, because then people get into it and they think there's something wrong with them or something wrong with the union.
With their spouse, yes.
And, mm-hmm. it may not be that so much as it is we just don't say enough about how difficult it can be.
Right.
But if you put God in the center,
mm-hmm.
you can do it.
Right.
You can do it.
Right, right, right.
The same is true for children. And then when you put the two together, oh mm-hmm. my goodness. And you're right, these children have so much access.
Yes.
To things that we just did not have, because they have phones that gives them access to everything.
Everything.
And unfortunately, that allows everything and everyone to have access to them.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't like as a parent. It's the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
It's the world we live in. And I think the only thing you can do is just plant the seeds
mm-hmm.
and just make sure that you are really directing your children in the path that God would have them to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that any of us can do,
right?
And at the end of the day, you know, you know, the challenge for us. It's the blessing from God, but in some ways for us, it is also, you know, a bit of a challenge, mm-hmm. is that we all have free will.
Right.
And our children have free will.
Right.
And so we have to just pray that they will go the path that they should, right? They go the right path. They do the right things. I always tell my children, you know, I just want you to grow up and be a productive, God-loving citizen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God-loving, God-fearing citizen. Mm-hmm. And so, and that when people see you, that they also see the light of Christ.
Right. Right.
And that you let that you exhibit that. And so we're always proud when we get little tidbits from people about, you know, where our children have let their light shine.
Right.
But, you know, they don't always do it. That's children.
Mm-hmm. They're growing up.
They don't. Mm-hmm. They don't. Mm-hmm. They're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, you know, it's a journey.
Right.
It's a journey of patience and of faith.
Right.
Because the truth of the matter is I probably pray. You know, talk about how you got to pray and just put God in the center of your marriage. I have probably prayed as much for my children. Those Amen. Probably be the two places I pray the hardest
Amen.
And the longest.
Right.
is in those two places. In the children, I pray about it because, you know, with my marriage, I feel like I have a bit more control, mm-hmm. at least, you know, from a flesh side. Mm-hmm. We know that God is truly in control, but mm-hmm. you feel like, hey, so you feel like you have more of it. With your children, there are times, especially when they go off to school,
right.
where you know you really don't have any control.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
now with so much access to social media and what mm-hmm. have you, I feel we have less and less as parents.
Right.
Because, you know, back when we were growing up, right, you go to school, your parents know you're at school.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not there at school, call, right?
Right.
And then you would come home. And if you had an activity or a part-time job, your parents knew where you were, what you were doing, who you were with
right.
most of the time.
Right.
But we don't know as much about that because mm-hmm. they got the boxes, mm-hmm. right? They have these mm-hmm. phones and, mm-hmm. you know, they can do that. And so it really, I think it calls upon us to have more faith. And for me to be closer to God and just be like, Lord, just keep my children safe, Lord. Ward off anything, Lord, that would come, Lord God, that's not of you. These are the prayers, Lord, that I pray every day.
Right.
Because it is not easy. It mm-hmm. is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But I also realize that I just have to have faith.
Amen.
And know that God is, as I tell them, and I have told them from you know, very early on when they have tests or, you know, they have something they would be nervous about,
mm-hmm.
I would say, well, you know that God is always with you. You know, His word says in Deuteronomy, He will never leave you. He'll never forsake
Amen.
You. And I have to remind myself of that.
Right. I was going to say, yes, I just said that to myself today.
That's it, that God is with them.
Amen.
And He'll never leave them. He'll never forsake
mm-hmm.
them. But as parents, boy, there's nothing more challenging
than
really letting go of our children,
mm-hmm.
even when they have to go through difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I want to go back to the first thing you said about marriage and about what we see on TV, because, you know, I'm a fan of the Christmas movies. So on that end, you know, everything is shiny and everything is perfect and everybody
is
going, and it's such easy TV.
Feels good.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
I like it because it's easy TV. One of the movies the other day, I'm a little behind. I have to record everything because December is a busy month. But one of the movies that I watched, that I recorded, it said, they said something to the effect of our kids are, my kids are happier now that we're divorced than they were when we were married. And I thought, okay, we're even.
I know.
We're going to make divorce look shiny. And divorce is so difficult.
It's horrific.
Yes.
That's the only word I could use for it. It's horrific.
It is
especially
horrific.
Especially if children are involved.
Yes.
It's horrific.
It's horrific for everyone involved.
It is.
And then the other side of TV is, okay, if you have a little bit of conflict, go ahead and break up real fast and, you know, get down the street to the next person and jump right in, you know. Neither one of those examples really show the grit and the resolve and the peace and the joy that's only found in Jesus Christ that you have to have, and the love that you have to extend and grace that you have to extend to one another.
And the steadfastness.
Yes.
That you need.
Yes.
You're right. And I think about when we were growing up, right, you know, like Leave It to Beaver was
mm-hmm.
on, and you
yes.
had the
yes.
Cleavers who
yes.
were, you know, like the perfect family
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and the perfect marriage. But you're right. I mean, that... all those, you know, old sitcoms and shows really portrayed it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. When you think about what the way, you know, the kinds of things we see now, because we see so much of so
right.
many different things.
Right.
Now. So it's that, like, divorce and those kinds of things would be the least of probably the sins or just challenges, you,
mm-hmm.
you the kinds of things you would see on TV that wouldn't be great. You're right. You do. You see sort of the bookends of
mm-hmm.
it, you know, hey, it doesn't work. You just roll on. And, you know, sort of the glorification. And sometimes divorce is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is people are being abused, and
right.
I'm a big
right.
advocate for that. Not a big advocate for divorce, but I think women have to protect themselves,
mm-hmm.
and so it's necessary.
And the children.
But
mm-hmm.
no, even when it's necessary, it is horrific.
Yes.
Horrific.
Yes.
I am the product of parents who were divorced.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were married, divorced, married again, divorced.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They kept trying, and
mm-hmm.
they just couldn't get to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I always tell people, as a child who was a product of that, I just remember, and back then, like, people didn't talk, you know.
Right.
You know, they didn't really talk to their children the same way we talk to our children,
mm-hmm.
right? And so they said very little about it. You know, dad is gone. Dad lives somewhere else.
Mm.
But it was a very challenging experience for
mm-hmm.
us as children
mm-hmm.
to be able to take that, digest it, and kind of figure out what to do with it.
Right.
And so, yeah, we should never really glorify it. And even when children aren't involved, I mean, you know, the two shall become one. And when the two are not one anymore and the two have to go separate ways, it has impact on the two people that go their separate ways.
Right.
And everybody around them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's the kind of thing that we just have to have people understand that going in is one of the things that Richie does. Is he counsels people when they say they want to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people will say, oh, we want to get married next week. Can you marry us? And he'll say no. Because we just believe in counseling
mm-hmm.
So that you make sure that this is really what God
Amen.
You know, has ordained.
Amen. Amen.
And the only way to do that is go through, I believe, you know, Christian counseling
right.
to really capture that.
Right.
So then... you are prepared. Then you know
mm-hmm.
this is what God has ordained, and you're more prepared for what you are getting into.
Right, right.
I think a lot of times people don't go through all of that,
mm-hmm.
and then they get in it, and then they're like, what?
Right.
It is difficult. As I said, it is a challenge, because you got two people, two different, you know, for us, for my husband and I, we did, you know, a lot of people live together
mm-hmm.
now before
mm-hmm.
they get married,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know.
That is a trend.
It is very,
even in
very
the church,
prominent.
That is
That's
a trend.
It is
mm-hmm.
very prominent. But we didn't do that, you know, we decided we wanted to get married. We had our own separate places, and then we got married and moved together.
Mm-hmm.
And truly all those little things about the toothpaste.
Yes.
And the tooth,
you go
know,
through all of that.
The shoe where you put your shoes
mm-hmm.
at, and who makes mm-hmm. up the bed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We had a thing about my dish towel ending up in the garage. What?
No.
Yes.
And I'm sure your husband didn't understand why that was a problem.
Right.
You're like, no. We don't do that. That's a towel for the kitchen.
Yes.
You know, there's
yes.
food there.
Yes. He's going to get me for saying that. But
oh,
that was back in the day. That was...
the same for us. I mean, all those little things that seemed really big
mm-hmm.
back then. And then, you know, over time, if you we've been married for 25. I guess it's coming up on 26. This
mm-hmm.
is the 26th year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the little things, you learn over time.
Right.
The little things aren't there because you,
right.
you know, as we live,
right.
we go through life, and there
right.
are, you know, you ebb and flow, and there's some big things that come
right.
through.
Right?
Right. And so then you have to learn how to overcome those. But you don't wake up every day in the sunshine.
Right.
And, you know, butterflies are flying and But there are some days you do.
Yes.
There are some days.
Yes.
Where I think a lot of, in terms of marriage, the thing that I tell people all the time is marry your friend. Mm-hmm. Make sure that the person you're marrying is your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to be able to giggle and laugh with
right.
the person.
Right.
You need to have the same interests, some things you enjoy.
Yes.
You need to be able to bounce things off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just need to be able to do that. Some days, like last night, you know, we ended the night with laughter.
Right.
Just, you know, kind of laughing about some things.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
Amen.
And if it's just all about the flesh,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, from a marriage perspective, it's very difficult. Marriage is difficult, and it's more difficult if you are not friends.
Right. Right.
Because if you are friends, though you have some challenging days, when mm-hmm. you are friends, you have many good days
right.
as well.
Right.
And many days where you laugh, many days where you travel or you attend or go to events or you do things that you have in common that you like to do.
Right, right.
I think that if you can find somebody that is your friend.
Mm-hmm.
That God blesses you with somebody like that to be able to live with
mm-hmm.
as your companion and your lover and your friend, most of all.
Yes.
It's a blessing.
That's right. And, you know, that's why they would teach us to go through different seasons with people before, you know, you get engaged, serve together, you know, do different things where you're side by side and
you can see.
Yes, you can see.
Yes.
How are we together? You know,
yes.
are we really yes. good friends like
yeah.
that? Yes.
Yeah.
And Roosevelt and I, we always teach that compromise has been one of our biggest things in our marriage. And we preach that. We're like, both people aren't going to be on the mountaintop at the same time.
No.
You know, you're going to compromise and you're going to go back and forth and give plenty of room for each person to grow and to be the individual that God has called
you to be. That is so important. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
giving each person room.
Yes.
Because I think that's the other thing. When the two become one, doesn't mean that they don't have each have... should have room to be able
yes.
to grow and become
yes.
the people that God
yes.
have called them to be.
Yes.
I think that is huge.
Yes.
Sometimes one gets lost in the other,
mm-hmm.
Or one is codependent on the other,
mm-hmm.
and that too isn't the best.
Right, right,
yeah.
right,
yeah.
right.
And I love the compromise piece because you're right. If you cannot compromise, you cannot stay married.
You cannot. You're not going to have your way all the time. You're not going to be number one.
Can't.
You're not going to be forefront, you know.
You can't. That's
yes.
one of the things we try to work on with our children. One of our children, you know, sometimes will have challenges with being a little bit selfish, and it's like, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can't. You have
mm-hmm.
to, you know. It's funny. You say that when your children are little, and
yes.
I think by the time they get to be a certain age, I would stop saying that.
Mm-hmm.
I still say you got to be selfless.
Yes.
You got
yes.
to be selfless.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
yeah. That is wonderful. Well, Nisha, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a wonderful conversation. We truly appreciate your time, and we hope that you will come back
in
the future.
Yes. Absolutely. And thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I have had a blast.
Thank you. Yes, so glad that you enjoyed it. Everyone, our show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Go to loveministriesbuilds.org for all of the information about Love Ministries. Go to my website, KARLANIVENS.com, for all of the information about our show, all of the information about my book, True Leaders with Heart. You can figure out how to get the book there on my website. But most of all, we want you to have a wonderful and great week. We will see you back here next week. My name is Carla Nivens, host of the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show.